Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to join you with you once again. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in at by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. We're also being heard in the lower area by 100.3 FM, and we welcome all of those that have tuned us in that way. Others have tuned us in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we are now streaming both of these stations live by the way of the web. Others have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that are listening by my way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over the Messages from the Lighthouse, and all of a sudden, Current Media will show. Slide down and click on Current Media, and it'll bring you to the broadcast that we have for this morning. And I'm glad to be able to share with you in whatever way you're listening this morning. We're just glad to have you be a part of our broadcast time together today. We're going to be looking at Labor Day. This week is Labor Day weekend as we begin to think about the month of September. Man, where is this summer gone? This summer has gone really fast. I tell people the older you get, the faster life goes. But man, this has been speedy. We just thinking like we just put the pontoon in the dock in. Is it going to be time to take it back out again? Well, we just adjust to that, I guess. But anyway, we'll be talking about a Labor Day message. The message for this morning is entitled, Take a Day Off and Celebrate Work. I like that title. Take a Day Off for Labor Day and Celebrate Work. We'll get to that in just a few moments, but I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial cost of our broadcast. So we begin with Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She's from Greenville. Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. And to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, and to Bill and Judy Hammond family from the building area. We appreciate the support of each and every one of those that have been contributing to make sure I can stay on the broadcast. Big thank you to K.N. King Singer. She dropped off the music yesterday for all of these services for the month of September. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Sunday, our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service. That's where we sing a lot of the old hymns and so on. Then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, which is the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So that's where we're gathered together as a church body, and we're just looking forward if you have some time to come and share with us. We'd appreciate that very much. As we think about the message this morning, take a day off and celebrate work. Work is a big part of each one of our lives, and you know, we need to not only be working just to support ourselves and our families and so on, but we need to be working for the kingdom of God and things that God has for each one of us to do. And we'll be addressing that in just a few moments. But we have a song I want us to listen to. And this song is talking about in the farm life. And I'll be speaking about some of the farm life, just about how there's a harvest in October. And as you drive around the country roads today, you notice there's an awful lot of potatoes being dug and harvested, and the wheat has already been harvested, and they'll soon be harvesting corn. All of those things are part of the seeding time that took place in the spring that's bringing about the harvest. Well, this farmer was good at farming, but he wasn't good at doing the second part of what I'm talking about this morning, and that is to make sure we're doing something for God's kingdom, something is going to count for eternity. And then one day he starts church. And I like this song because it's a kind of a story song. I've always liked the story songs that tell us a story. So let's sit back and listen to the story about this farmer and what's happening in his life and then what God can teach us from his life to be a source of comfort and strength to each one of us. So I'll be right back in just a few moments.
Long before the dawn, before the rooster has his say, the farmer and the farmer's wife begin another day. She will wash the dishes and he will milk the cows. And like every spring for 40 years, it's time to hitch the plow. Now he knows every furrow like the back of his hand. Somehow they made a living by living off the land. It ain't nothing fancy, it don't look like much to some. These fields can feed a family before the winters come. For 39 harvest times, the farmer's wife has prayed that the man she's always loved would go to church with her one day. But he's as stubborn as the mule that helps him work the summer fields. Prays for grace and prays for rain and the crops that they will yield. Now no one knows what's going on inside an old man's head. But one October Sunday morn, he got out of bed. And he put on his coat and tie and he polished up his shoes. Farmer joined the farmer's wife together on a pew. That little congregation, they won't forget the day that he walked to the altar and he knelt down to pray. And like the leaves on the trees, the tears began to fall. Seeds that she had planted had been growing after all. 40 harvest times, 40 crops that they had grown. 40 years of Sundays she went to church alone. But she won't see the autumn leaves the same way anymore. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for. If you have a little faith before you sow that seed below, you'll see it grow.
See it grow, yes, grow and grow.
40 harvest times, 40 crops that they had grown. 40 years of Sundays she went to church alone. But she won't see the autumn leaves the same way anymore. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for.
I like that song. I like the thought. It's the October harvest she's been waiting for. They harvest the crops for 40 years. But now he's went to church and he's turned his life over to the Lord Jesus. And that's the harvest she's been waiting for. I imagine in those 40 years she prayed for him many, many times. I imagine in those 40 years sitting alone in the pew, she wished many, many times that he was there with her. And it's kind of neat to find out that it did end up happening. I believe that can be a part of a story of many people's lives. We get so busy living life that we don't understand that, you know, it's going to come to an end. There's going to be a harvest at the end of our life. We can harvest all kinds of crops and those kinds of things and see the beauty of the hard work that we've done in our lifetime, in our home and in our family and all of that. But it all boils down to what we're going to be talking about this morning. Take a day off and celebrate work. Before we do, though, I want to remember the listening audience. Dear people, I love praying for the listening audience at this point of time, because you're my congregation this morning. You're the ones that, even though I can't see your faces, even though I don't know all the circumstances of your life, you're the ones that I'm desiring to minister to today. So we're just going to pray for all of our listening audience. Let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, as we come to you once again, our listening audience is scattered all over. There may be younger ones and older ones, sick ones and tired ones, and some that's just don't know what all's going on in life because things are so different for them than it has ever been before. So, Father, I bring to you our listening audience this morning. Whatever it is they're going through, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, rather it be emotional, rather it be physical, whatever it is that they're going through, if it has to do with family, has to do with work, has to do with their church life or their faith life, dear Father, I ask your special blessing to be upon each and every individual. They're all individual needs, Father, and we're reaching out in their behalf. We're praying for them, that you might meet their needs according to your will. You tell us again, and I remind myself of that often, we can cast all of our care and concern and anxiety, anything that's bothering us, we can unload that upon you, for you do care for each one of us. Would you let the listening audience know this morning, Father, that you care for them and what they're experiencing in life? Now, come and honor your word. We're going to speak about your son and his work ethic that he had. And we just pray, Father, that you would just use your son again to minister to our hearts and lives about this daily thing called work, that we might be led and directed by you. Guide us and direct us, and we'll thank you and praise you for that. In the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. Well, the message this morning, take a day off to work. Today we're going to focus on the idea of work and the part work plays in our life, both in our everyday life, but also in our spiritual life. I believe as a Christian, because of Jesus is in our life, our attitude towards work should be influenced by the work ethic of Jesus and by the teachings of the Word of God. I believe that's the way it was supposed to be. When I was growing up, a saying that I heard often, idle hands are the devil's workshop. You ever hear that? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. When I became a Christian, I learned that saying was not a Bible verse, but I believe the Bible does teach us that idle hands are not a good thing for any person, and especially for one that is a believer in Jesus and his work ethic. I believe Jesus teaches us about that. We're to become more like Jesus in our work ethic as we get to know him and see how he did things. Work takes energy. I mean, maybe I better repeat that again. Work takes energy. And I can tell you, folks, at being 84 now, for a while, working towards 85, I can tell you, folks, when you get in the 80s, work takes more energy. Just the littlest things become harder to do. But I've learned also that work energizes us, especially if we do a good job at what we do. It energizes us. When we are working, our energy is channeled into a positive project. While we're doing this project, it produces positive outcome. But you know what we need to realize? When people aren't working, their energy is available for meddling, mischief, talking all kinds of things. This is true for the Christian who would not be busy working to produce positive support. He can become or she can become a busybody, a meddler. And sometimes with the use of Facebook, it can really get out of hand. Paul spoke of this when he was writing to the young minister Timothy about the danger when our desires overpower our devotion to Jesus. Let me say that again. When our desires overpower our devotion to Jesus. At the same time, they learn to go around from house to house, he's telling them, since they have nothing else to do. Not only this, but they also gossip and get involved in other people's business, saying things they shouldn't say. That's in 1 Timothy 5:13. God says, now, you know, if you're not busy about something, you will be busy, but it might be about gossip and that kind of stuff and getting involved in other people's businesses, and all of us somehow think we're little psychiatrists, you know, to figure out the problems of others. Rather, we can keep the problems of our straight of our own selves or not. That's another question. But in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, 23, listen to what he says. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Proverbs, he reminds us, if you keep your tongue, you can keep yourself out of trouble. Sometimes you've heard the old saying that was a part of life, open mouth, insert foot. I like it in Proverbs 18, 19. Listen to what he says. Whoever is lazy in his work is related to a vandal. He's getting pretty serious here, folks, this morning, saying, you know what? We've got to be busy people, not busy about the right things and not busy about the wrong things. One of my favorite songs about work is called Work for the Night is Coming. Work for the night is coming through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every fine minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. I believe that that's exactly why we need to make sure we're doing what we should be doing when we should be doing it. Somebody says to me, how long are you going to keep doing the radio, Pastor? Somebody else says to me, how long are you going to keep doing funerals, Pastor? I'll say, well, as long as I'm able to do it, I want to do it. Because you know what, folks? That work energizes us. I believe we should do the very best we can do at whatever work we do, but not to be rewarded by our fellow man, but one day to be rewarded by the Lord Jesus himself. There's a statement that was given when people put the talents that they had to work. And there was another statement that was given when the one had one talent and didn't do anything with it. Listen to what comes to those that do what they can do with what they have. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love the way God looks at things. When you do a good job, he isn't saying, well done. He says to us, well done, thou successful student or servant? No, he's saying, thou good and faithful servant. Doing the very best we can. Labor Day, you know what, folks? I believe we're living in a period of time when it's pretty easy just to slide by, just to do enough to get by. Haven't you seen that in our society? Maybe you've seen a little bit in yourself. We need to give it the very best that we have so we can feel at the end of the day that we've done the best that we're capable of doing. I believe that same thing is true when it comes to our life. We want to give it the very best that we can. so that when you and I come to the end of our life, we'll have very few regrets. It's been a good life. It's been a good run. It's been special for each and every one of us, is what we need to know. And then God's telling us whatever we've done for Him, and we've done the very best that we're capable of doing, we have the possibility of hearing from the Lord Jesus Himself. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's think of this thought again. Take a day off and celebrate work. You know, when it comes to work, if it's not the slide-by thing, it's the work ethic. Now, I don't know exactly what that word means, but, you know, when I was growing up as a little boy, I got my work ethic from my mom. She was a hard worker. She gave her very best at everything she did. She always did above and beyond what was expected. You know, if we're picking potatoes, the crate had to be heaped. The farmer would say level was good, but mom would say it's got to be heaped. You know what? When we was topping onions, the farmer would have said level is good. Not my mama. My mama would have said it's got to be heaped. You see, that's something that was a part of her life. And she passed it on to me, and I'm so glad that she did. You know, on a lighter side, I remember one time I got a dumpster. We was remodeling our house and so on, and I got this dumpster, and I knew the guy very well. And you know, when he come to pick it up, I had heaped it up a little bit. And he said, oh, Pastor Ken, he said, it's just supposed to be level. Oh, man, I said, I guess I'll have to blame that onto my mom. She said to heap up everything. So I heaped up the big old dumpster, too. He said, well, we can take it out of here, but it's hard to cover, and we have to cover it, you know. We need to realize that this is exactly what God is looking for in your life and my life. Matter of fact, He tells us He wants to give back to us if we do what we're supposed to do. He wants to give it back, pressed down and shaken together and running over is the way God wants to pronounce His blessings upon us. When I became a Christian, I was glad to have the background of my mom's work ethic. But you know what I found out? The Lord Jesus became my model. And you know what? I've come to the conclusion that my mom must have got her work ethic from the Lord Jesus. I love these three verses. They give us some thoughts about Jesus told us about work. Jesus said this one day, my food is to do what the one who has sent me, His Father, wants me to do. Now listen. And to finish the work He has given me. Jesus said, that's my food. That's my desire. That's where I get my energy from. I want to do, Jesus is saying, what the Father sent me to do. And what the Father sent me to do, I want to finish the project. That's pretty special. I like that idea because later on he spoke in the book of John again. On earth I've given you glory by finishing the work you gave me to do. By finishing the work you gave me to do, I've given glory to God. And then when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, He spoke seven times from the cross. And one time they gave Him some vinegar when He was beginning to speak. They put some on a sponge and put it up to Him. And then all of a sudden He said this, it is finished. It is finished. Then He bowed His head and He died. Jesus come to do the work the Father had sent Him to do. Not only did Jesus come to do the work the Father sent Him to do, Jesus came to finish the work. And at the end of His life, He could say, it is finished. He was done. I think that's so important for us to realize that that's what drove Jesus. That's what gave Him the energy that He had. There's a story that gives us some insight into that that I've always loved. It's a story that's called about the woman at the well, the woman that comes seeking water. She'd been married 7 times, and now she was living with a man she wasn't married to. And she came all by herself because I don't think she felt comfortable coming when other women were there at the well. She just came all by herself. And Jesus is going to illustrate that through that story. There was a well that Jacob had built, and that well was a very special place to the Samaritans as well as to the Jewish people. And Jesus and his disciples had came to that well, and Jesus was sitting beside the well, and the disciples decided to go into town and get some food. And all of a sudden, this woman comes, and she's going to draw water. She's got her water pots with her. And Jesus asked, "Would you give me a drink of water?" And you know, the Jews and the Samaritans had no dealings with one another. And so she says to Jesus, "How is it that you would speak to me when the Jews and the Samaritans don't have much to do with each other?" And Jesus struck up a conversation with her in the course of Jesus' teaching. She came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the one called the Christ, which was supposed to come. And all of a sudden, she left her water pots and she went into town and she told everyone, "I have just met the Messiah." Jesus was busy doing that while the disciples were in town getting food. In the meantime, the disciples returned from town and they had lots of food. And the disciples were urging Jesus to eat some. It went like this, "Rabbi, have something to eat." Jesus told them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." The disciples asked each other, "Did someone bring him something to eat?" Jesus told them, now here's going to go back to what he said in the beginning, which I read for a few minutes ago. "My food is to do what the one who sent me wants me to do, and to finish the work he has given me to do. That's what I'm here for." And so Jesus is saying, "I had fulfillment in my life. I have energy added to my life when I spoke to that woman and she come to believe that I was the Messiah. And all of a sudden she left and she's gone into town." And I believe Jesus knew she was going and telling everybody. You know why I say that? Because I believe Jesus said to the disciples, "Don't say this 4 months, and then the harvest comes." Jesus said, "I tell you, look at the fields. They're white already unto harvest." You see, Jesus was saying, I love this energy doesn't come from just food itself, but this energy comes from doing the work that the Father has sent you to do. And the work for Jesus was to lead others to believe in the Father. And then he says to the disciples, "Look at the fields. They're white unto harvest." In my thinking, I have no scripture proof for this, but in my belief, I believe that's about the time the woman was coming back from town and a crowd of people were with her. And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. Well, we got to take a little break and listen to a song, and then we'll come back. And this song is going to tell us what we need in our life, in every area of our life. We need a firm foundation. And what I've tried to do in the first part of this message is lay before you the firm foundation of the work ethic of Jesus and what he wanted to do and what he came to do, to remind us that God the Father has some things he wants each one of us to do. It would be so bad, folks, to go through this world that God has created and not get to know God and not get to know the work that he has us to do. So this song says it's a firm foundation that God has for your life and my life. I'm going to take right off now. Here we go. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure.
You know, the Lord is speaking to our hearts about Him being that firm foundation. That firm foundation that is founded upon the work ethic of the Lord Jesus. And the work ethic that is taught in the Word of God. To do the work that the Father had sent him to do. That was so important. And you know something? I want to continue on with that story about the woman at the well for just a few more moments. The Lord Jesus not only is my model for working, and you know, but it's also, I like his method of doing this work. He spoke to one woman at the well. He revealed himself to be the Messiah, and she believed, and that satisfied the Lord Jesus. But now we come to the next part, which is the method of God doing his work. This woman that he met at the well, and she believes he is the Messiah. She goes to town, and she's coming back with many Samaritans. That's why I believe Jesus said, here's the whole town is coming. And you know what? Jesus said, those fields are white unto harvest. Listen to what it says in the rest of that story. Many Samaritans in that city believed on Jesus because of the woman who said, he told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans went to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed in Samaria for 2 more days. And many more Samaritans believed because of what Jesus said. And then they told the woman, our faith is no longer based on what you said. We have heard him for ourselves, and we really know he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus spoke to one person, and she believed, and she went into town and brought some more out. They asked Jesus to stay in the town, and he stayed there for 2 days. And then many, many of the people of Samaria, of that city, believed in Jesus. The lesson we learn from Jesus is that what he shared with his disciples, he wanted them to know. It was not just the work they did, but also others would do. And both would be doing the work of sowing the seed and harvesting the harvest. It is true, what he say, and one person plants, but another harvests the crops. I sent you to harvest a crop that you did not work for. Others did the work. You get to profit from their work. And you know what he's trying to teach us? It isn't just what you're going to do, but what you do for God and what I do for God connected with what other people do for God, that's going to bring about a harvest, he's saying. See this practice in Jesus sowing the seed with the woman he met at the well? Then she brings others to meet Jesus, and Jesus does the work of the harvest. Many Samaritans in that city believed on Jesus because of the woman. And then those that believed invited Jesus to stay in their city, and he did this for 2 more days. Jesus did some more harvesting because the seed had been sown. And you know what? It was a work that Jesus was doing, but it was also a work connected with what that woman had done. Later in the Bible, this method of working is repeated by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to one of the churches, and he said, you know, you need to understand, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And the harvest has to do with the increase. I shared this many times, and you've heard me share it many times. The farmer planted one kernel of corn and harvested an ear of corn with 700 to 800 kernels like he planted. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That woman, he sowed a seed in one woman, and that seed grew as she went to the city, and all the whole, many, many of the townspeople had come to believe in the Lord Jesus. You know, God telling us something. And it's told in that book of Corinthians when it said, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. Jesus did his job, then the woman did her job. of bringing others to him. And then we find that when those begin to believe, it brought other believers, and that's the way that was working. That's pretty special, folks. It's not just up to you to think, I'm the only one doing the work of God. God's saying, you're going to have some harvest in your life, but listen to this. You're going to sow some seed that you never see the harvest. Somebody else coming behind you will reap the harvest from the seed you sown. And he's saying, you and I today are reaping the harvest of seed that was sown by somebody else. It's all one good big work. I love the way it's stated in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where we're going. You know what he's saying? If you're going to do something for God, you got to do it down here on planet Earth. You got to do it now. There's some more teaching I want to get across to you from the Lord Jesus to show from his work ethic. But I love the idea of what your hand finds to do. He's saying, you know, you should be seeking for something to do. Somebody just told me just a little while ago, they said they were so close to death, and then they were brought back to life. So now I got to figure out what God's got me for me to do here. You know, you can't always do what you've always done. But you know what? No matter what age we are, there's something we can do for the kingdom of God. And I've always told older people, when it comes to the point where you can't do anything physical, you know what you can do? You can pray. And I've always would tell the older ones of the congregation when I was pastor, you can pray for me. I'm right now able to be on the front line. I'm able to do the things that I need to do. But I need you to pray for me. It's through your prayers for me that's going to help me to be able to do what you want, what God wants me to do. I want to show you something from Jesus' life that's pretty special when it thinks of him as our model for what the work ethic would be. I love it that Jesus one day when he was teaching people, he said, I don't want to send them away hungry. They'd been there for a long time. He said, we need to feed them. Well, the disciples were wondering, what in the world can we feed them? There's no McDonald's out here. There's no Burger King. There's no Wendy's or nothing. Jesus said, what do you have? And they looked and they said, there's a little boy here. He's got a few little biscuits and a couple, three fish, dried up fish. Jesus said, set the people down. And out of that little boy's lunch, he fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And everybody not only had enough to eat, but when they got all done, Jesus said, gather up the leftovers. And when the leftovers were gathered up, there was 12 baskets. How many disciples did Jesus have? There was 12 baskets for 12 disciples to have leftovers the next couple of days. Pretty special. And when the people saw later on, they come to find Jesus, and when they saw that Jesus was not there, the disciples were not there, they said, he's went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So they got into boats, and they come to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then they had come to Jesus, and they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus replied to them, I can guarantee you this. You're not looking for me because you're looking for me because you saw a miracle. You're looking for me because you ate as much of those loaves as you wanted. He's saying, you're looking to me to see a miracle? But he said, that's not what you're looking for. You know what you're looking for? A free handout again today. You know what? Listen to what Jesus says next. You're looking to me because you were fed with those loaves and fish yesterday. Now listen to the statement. Don't work for food that spoils. Don't just work, Jesus is saying, for a paycheck to buy food that's going to spoil. Instead, work for the food that lasts into eternal life. Now it's getting heavy, folks. You're not just supposed to be working to provide for your family and your needs and all of those things that we can say we were a good provider for our family. He says, while you're working here on planet Earth, because you're going to go to the grave one day. There's no work in the grave. So if we're going to work, we got to do it here on planet Earth. Work for some food that will last for eternity. This food the Son of Man will give you. After all, the Father has placed his seal of approval upon his Son, Jesus. Jesus is saying, I can show you how to do this. Have you ever noticed some work we do is only to be repeated again and again? Is it not enough just to work for a paycheck? Jesus fed the crowds of people, 5,000 besides the women and children. 5,000 men. And then Jesus is saying when they come to see another miracle, but he said, you don't even really want to see a miracle. You want to be fed again. You want a free meal. Don't work for food that spoils. Work for something that will count for eternity. He's reminding us, each one of us as we live here on planet Earth, we need to be busy doing some work that's going to count for eternity. There's this question been asked in the past. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? What on earth are you doing in your daily life that's going to count for heaven? To help somebody else through a difficult time in their life. To help somebody else understand and believe in this one Jesus. What are you doing that's going to count for eternity? Along with that, I remember saying when I first became a Christian, he's so earthly minded, he's no heavenly good. And then they said about other people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And that's true. That's true. That's very difficult, but that's true. And we need to do that. We need to know that. Take a day off and celebrate work. But in this celebration, think about, what am I doing that's going to count for heaven? It's going to count for eternity. There's one more way that God's telling us. In the book of Matthew, he told us, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because my yoke up with me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what Jesus is saying? He's not asking us to do this work on our own. He's not asking us to do this work for God. He's asking us to do this work with Jesus for God the Father. Jesus wants to help us. Jesus wants to be the source that comes into our lives. And he wants us to know what he knew. If you do something that's going to count for eternity, hey, folks, he's saying it feeds you. When I do funerals and as a help to that family, it feeds me. It gives me energy to want to do. But that energy isn't coming from me. God's saying, you yoke up with me. We'll do this together. We'll do this together. And you know what? I love it that he in John 15 gave us the most beautiful illustration that you could ever ask for. When Jesus one day said, I'm the vine. I'm the true vine. My Father takes care of the vineyard. He removes every one of the branches that doesn't produce fruit. He also prunes them so the branches will produce more fruit. He said, you disciples, you're already clean, I've told you. But now he's saying, you know what? You're the branch. You're the branch. I'm the vine. You're the branch. You know what he's saying? The branch is connected to the vine. You know what happens? The source of life comes from the vine and goes into the branch. Do you know, did you ever see grapes? When you look at a grape, you got the vine. Then there's a little branch that comes. Think about it. Where's the fruit? The fruit isn't on the vine. The fruit is on the branch. Jesus is saying, you're the branch and you're going to produce fruit. And you, the word he uses is, you abide in me and I abide in you. You know what he's really saying? You stay connected to me and I stay connected to you. Then the flow of life comes from the vine. It comes into the connection to the branch. And now the vine has fed the branch and the branch has energy it never knew it had. It's something that's very special. Something that God is reminding us. He wants us to understand so we can understand what it is that he wants to produce in our life. He wants us to stay connected to him. And as we stay connected to him, he said, you will produce fruit. He said, sometimes there will be some fruit, sometimes there will be more fruit, sometimes there will be much fruit. That's what he wants to produce out of your life and my life. But he's saying, you got to stay connected to the vine. By the way, if one of those branches get broken off, it won't produce fruit. It'll die. It'll wither. It won't be any productive anymore. Jesus even goes so far to say this when he's talking about that vine and the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. You have no capacity in yourself to do the fruit that I'm talking about. But because you're connected to me and my life is flowing through your life, you're going to produce fruit and your fruit's going to remain. And then later on in the book of Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does that strength come from? That strength that Christ is talking about that he wants to give to you and that he wants to give to me comes because we're connected to the source of life from the vine. The vine is feeding the branch and the branch is providing the fruit. And God is glorified in it all. Apostle Paul one day was speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, we always thank God for all of you as we remember you in our prayers in the presence of God the Father. We never forget that your faith is alive, active. Your faith is alive. Your love is working hard. Your confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ is enduring. That's what Christ can bring to our life. And in this generation of time, we need that. Don't be satisfied, folks, in whatever you do. Just to, number one, work for a paycheck. Or number two, just do enough to slide by. Just enough to slide by. Let's start heaping the basket. Let's start giving more than is expected of us. Let's start doing it the way Jesus is saying. And you don't have to do it in your own strength. He's saying, it's going to be my strength flowing through you. The food that comes from the vine will provide what is needed for the branches to be productive. I got to go on my way, but you know what? The last thing I want us to understand about this is God began this great work inside of you. God began it, and he wants us to know that what he wants us to understand is that this work that began in him, God's going to finish it. Forget everything I say this morning. Remember this. God always finishes what he starts, and he wants us to finish what we start. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.
Began a good work in you. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work will be faithful to complete it in you. Thank you. is slowly replacing your hope with despair. Or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night. You can be sure that the Lord has His hand on you, safe and secure. He will never abandon you. You are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you.
He who began a good work in you to complete it. He'll be